Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I'm terrible.
Oh, no. Why? Is it? Are you being attacked by a random mummy? Okay, good.
No. I truly believe in love and true love. And I just feel like if Xander and the Inca mummy girl can't work it out, because I really feel like they were destined together to be together forever, then there's no hope for the rest of us.
She really should have just sucked his soul out and gotten it over with, you know? Like, I was rooting for it the whole episode. I wanted them to be together, you know?
They should have just lived their lives out in eternal love.
Instead, that's not what happens, and we're stuck with Xander for even longer. But joining us today, we do have a special guest, someone who loves to talk about mummies, apparently, because she joined us for the mummy podcast earlier this month. Melissa, how are you?
Yeah. Hi. This is very unintentional. I just need people to know. I didn't know what this episode was about when I agreed to podcast about it. We picked this episode because of scheduling. It was a good week for me to do the podcast. So we picked it. And none of the three of us have seen Buffy before, so we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, hey, what movie should we do? I suggested The Mummy. Obviously, we did the whole podcast about that. It's out. You should listen to it. And then I was watching this episode this morning, and I was like, wait, what? This is the same premise over again. We just talked about this.
Exactly. And like, not only that, but the last time we had you on Buffy, Xander fell in love with the praying mantis girl, which was actually referenced in this episode. And essentially, the plot is very similar. So like, I think that you love mummies, you love Xander-centric episodes. And I mean, it's just so obvious about all of this. But I just think that's very like kismet and funny that it's another mummy themed thing. It's another Xander centric episode. And of course, like, they literally referenced the episode that you had covered. But now that we are on season two of The Mummy, and this is your first, not The Mummy, gosh,
the mummy girl.
Yeah. It's infiltrating my mind. The second season of Buffy. How are you feeling about Buffy's? Because this is your first watch as well.
Yeah. So this is always one of those shows that has been on my to watch list. I've talked to multiple people who are shocked when they find out that I've never seen Buffy, because it's very much my jam in many, many ways. And you know, I'm a big Firefly fan. So, you know, as much as this creator is pretty unfortunate at this point, I do enjoy his stuff. And obviously the kind of, you know, vibe of the 90s, you know, girl kicking butt against fantasy monsters is like very much in line with that. So it's good. I'm enjoying it. I like binge watched a bunch of it over the last week or so to kind of get caught up with the pod again. And I have to say, so far, season two is troubling me a little bit because the plots make no sense. And I like the show is good. I enjoy it. But I feel like at least in season one, I was like, okay, given what you have told us about this world, my whole thing is I'm fine to buy anything you say as long as you are consistent and it like there's a logical sense to it. And I know there was lots of conversation about the one two episodes ago where they were like, why aren't they just like reanimating? Why are they using all the pieces? Like, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense. And I'm like starting, and this episode, I was sort of the same where I was like, wait, what is happening? Why is like the seal thing turns out to be completely unnecessary and inconsequential. And I was like, why was there so much focus on like, what is this? And how do we get it? How do we fix it? And what do we have to do with all? And then it's like, it breaks at the end. And they're like, well, that's fine. It didn't matter anyway. Like, there's just like multiple things throughout this episode that don't make any sense. And I don't get it.
Yeah. The thing that with these Monster of the Week sort of shows like Buffy is I get frustrated when they introduce like this massive character in Spike and Drew last episode. And like everyone was very excited for us to get to those episodes. Like it seems like it's a really big deal. These characters are here. They're the big bads, whatever, whatever. But then it was like, okay, forget all of that. It's a Mummy episode. Like it has no bearing yeah. on this episode, which is fine. And this is like something we're kind of used to with specifically Monster of the Week sort of shows, which we know kind of Buffy sort of like invented. They were one of the first ones to do it. And especially a teen drama, especially when there's 20 something episodes, like you're going to get episodes that really kind of go off of the path of the season arc. But it was just like, it really goes completely like it's like, okay, we're going straight and then suddenly we just turn right and we just start sprinting. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing that bothered me was more of like, gosh, I was so excited about Spike and Drew last episode that suddenly to have them disappear for this episode, I'm like, oh, okay. Sarah, it reminds me of like when the penultimate episode had no Daddy Vamps and we were like, oh, this kind of stinks. Like we want there to be set up for then the finale, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know if I feel exact like the same way because I kind of feel like I'm a hostage to like a ship that's going to go whether I want it to stop or not. So I might as well just enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? Okay. So it's just like I'm not pressed about anything or questioning anything because I'm on this boat. I'm in Crazy Town and I'm a hostage here, so I better adapt to my surroundings. So I'm like I'm enjoying it. I really liked this episode. I don't think it's going to be my top 10 episodes of all time, but I mean it was funny. I thought Xander was really funny in this episode. Like I do. Like I think that he and the mummy girl like actually made a cute couple. And honestly, I kind of like because we're gonna be talking a lot about like Willow. It's for the billionth time, it's not Xander's fault that he doesn't have feelings for Willow. He's made it very clear. And maybe Willow just needs to get over it and, you know, talk to Seth Green, who actually does like her for her.
As soon as we saw Seth Green, I'm like, okay, they're going to hook up the redheads. It's going to be Willow and Seth Green together.
Yeah. I mean, we got to continue the redhead legacy. So you got to, they have to procreate with each other. I think there's redhead conventions for that. But like, I think that like Willow needs to learn that like, she needs to find value in herself and find somebody that loves her for her. And if she wants to look like an ugly, are we allowed to say the E word anymore?
No, I don't think so.
What's the
there's two different words used in this episode that I'm like, you can't say that anymore,
Buffy. Okay, yeah. Well, if she wants to be a person that wears heavy clothing in inappropriate setting instead of wearing hot
Inuit
yeah. A costume and not be like, you know, like a sexy costume, and if Seth Green likes that, then like they should just go forward and be together. Like, you know, if Xander keeps ditching you for randos, then like, I don't know, have some self-respect, Willow. How about that?
I agree with you on Willow while I also disagree with you on Xander, because Xander gets on my nerves instantaneously this episode. It was like he heard the compliments I gave him like last episode and he was like, okay, I'm gonna fuck around this episode and like completely trash the little bit of goodwill I've earned.
Yeah, first of all, the kissing was wild. The zoom in on the kissing was so unnecessary. I felt like
I was in their mouths at one point.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
What? It was so close up.
It's so extra. It's like, if I could see your tonsils, we're too close.
Everything in the 90s is too close up. It's like they didn't have wide angle lenses back then. It never stops.
It was just such a choice. And no, but I totally agree with the point that, like, again, not Xander's fault that he doesn't have feelings for Willow. That is totally okay. The thing is that I thought we had dealt with the whole, like, Willow finding self-confidence and, like, not, you know, accepting that Xander didn't have feelings for her and moving on at the end of last season. So I'm like, why is this still such a focus for this
growth
season?
Growth is not a linear line.
Well, no, but at the same point in time, it feels like we're revisiting the same things in a few different aspects. One with Willow having feelings for Xander and one for Xander having feelings for Buffy. Like, it's like, I thought we dealt with both of these, but I guess not. So let's kick things off, because this is going to be really relevant, like pretty much immediately in the episode, season two, episode four, Inca Mummy Girl. The Scoobies, they're having a little chat about this like cultural awareness day, this cultural exchange thing. They're at a museum. It turns out that like their school is participating in an exchange student program. And so some of them are accepting in exchange students, Buffy being one of those people. And Cordelia, of course, is like, oh, look at him. He's 100% Swedish and 100% gorgeous. And she's like very, very excited that this man will be staying at her house.
I like how she has like a mail order bride catalog of all the foreign exchange students. Yeah,
she picked him out of the catalog.
And she's like, I like this one. But obviously it doesn't go well. Yeah, I think that foreign exchange students are a thing, but I never cross paths with any.
Yeah, I was going to ask if this was still a thing, because I feel like there's no way it's still a thing that goes on. But the other thing that's wild here is that, like, when we had – my family never took in a foreign exchange student. I think that was a thing that richer families did, because you also – the deal was that, like, you like, a kid stayed with your family, and then you went and stayed with their family, right?
Oh, you got sent like, away. Yeah.
You had to be able to, like, fund both sides of that trip for that to happen. But the other thing about it was that, like, they weren't just – random exchange students from all over the world. It was like, oh, there's a bunch of German exchange students from one high school that are all going to come here.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just like this like weird smattering from everywhere. But yeah, I don't know. David, I was going to say someone with high school age children. It's just David. David, tell us if this is a thing that happens at your school, because I don't believe that this is a thing that parents nowadays are like okay with sending their kids to.
Certainly. And even when I was in high school, there were like a few exchange students in our school, but it wasn't like, oh, they come for a few weeks for like this cultural day and then they leave. It was like, no, they're there for like at least a few semesters, if not the whole year. So that was a little odd.
I know those kids signed up because they thought they were going to New York, and they were like, oh, New York City, the Big Apple. No, and then they show up in fucking Albany, New York, and they're like, this is the worst outcome for me.
Why are there cows everywhere?
They're like, I thought you meant the kids in this show. And I was like, wow, they really got their geography off. But no, I understand the kids at just the school.
Yeah. That would be so unfortunate. Buffy also is taking in a foreign exchange student. This one is from South America.
Right. And so she says, oh, I don't really know much. I know it's a guy. And this is where Xander started to piss me off, because he's like, oh, a guy with guy parts? That doesn't sound great. And it's like, shut the fuck up, Xander. Literally, no one asked you. No one asked for your opinion. He's like, oh, by guy, like, we're talking big, beefy guy, like girl, right? Why the fuck do you care, man? You don't own her. You're not dating her. You're never going to date her if I have anything to do with it. So stop it. Stop it. I can't. They did exchange a little bit of a glance, Melissa, in this episode that made me uncomfortable at the prospect of them being in a couple.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. This is my... I don't know. I'm just going to say this, like, flat out. I don't think Buffy and Xander ever get together, because I think that you don't... you don't have Buffy be like this against it if they ultimately end up together, right? Like, if they ultimately end up together, this would all be some big will they, won't they? We're going to very slowly build up to it. You know, there's something going on, which is why they can't be together yet. And eventually down the line, maybe they do, but they're like friends or whatever. Or they're just two friends who, like, eventually that happens to. But, like, you don't have the one, like, flat out rejecting the other repeatedly over and over again for, like, more than a season, and then have it be like, oh, wait, now I've changed my mind. Like, that's, I don't know. I would be shocked if they ever got together, because I just don't think that's where we're going.
I mean, if it happens, I suppose it happens. But I agree that it's kind of just, too far gone, except for the fact that this guy, the creator, sees himself as Xander. And if he's the type of guy that kept being repeatedly rejected by a woman over and over and over again, but by his wit and humor, he won her over eventually. Like, I can see, like, the ego of that coming into play, especially since he thinks... Yeah. Xander is a bit of him, but
yeah, it's very meta. But, like, I agree that my biggest concerns are what Sarah is saying, and also the fact that, like, 9 times out of 10, if you're doing a 90s teen drama, everyone's hooking up with everyone at some point. So, like, my hope is, if it does happen, right, let's say it does, and hopefully it doesn't, I hope it's kind of like if people watched Grey's Anatomy, like a Meredith and George O'Malley situation, where, like, she has sex with him once because she's sad and lonely and depressed, and then she immediately regrets it. It's like, never again. I'm so sorry that we had sex, but never again. So that's kind of what I hope. If anything happens, I hope it's something like rip the band-aid off very quick and painless, and we're done here. But yeah, Xander is immediately being a fucking butthead because he can't handle the fact that a male student exchange student is going to be staying with Buffy. But our attention quickly turns to Rodney Munson, who Xander calls God's gift to the bell curve. He's like damaging museum property, and I don't understand how he's just scraping this mask, Melissa, and no one is stopping him.
I don't understand anything with this kid. Like, he is just, yeah, like, actively destructive and stupid to the point of comical. And what is happening? I don't get how this kid even exists. This just doesn't feel real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Willow apparently is his tutor, and he's just, he's lost, you know, he's a lost soul. She's trying to help him. But they go into, like, the Inca exhibit, and they're talking about how, like, oh, the Incan people chose a beautiful teenage girl to become their princess. And unfortunately she became a mummy, because they sacrificed her to the mountain god. And basically they buried her alive in a tomb, which is no fun.
That is very unfortunate. The mummy is very exposed. Like, I've seen mummies at the Met and other museums, and I don't think that typically they're closed in their tomb And like, I don't think they're exposed to the elements because kind of like how you can't flash photography paintings. I don't know exactly why, but I just feel like this is very exposed, and no wonder she came to life and escaped. And one last thought, every time these people have a field trip, shit goes down. So maybe they should just not allow field trips anymore. Just saying.
Yeah, that was my note too, was I was like, how are they allowed to get so close to the exhibit? And basically, like, if they wanted to, they could just like reach down and touch it. And I was like, what kind of museum is this that doesn't have some sort of like glass panel or something protecting it? Because for exactly that, right? Like, people, I'm surprised there wasn't like garbage and like empty coffee cups and stuff thrown in there, because people suck, right? And I was like,
they do. No way.
This doesn't make any sense. This was just like the first part of the show that I was like, none of this makes any sense. And like, I don't need it. I don't need the like, oh, how does the mummy come back to life thing to be something that, you know, is any in any way founded in reality. But I just need like you to think for 2 seconds about what this would actually be in reality. And it didn't feel like they did that at all. And there was like a way to do this without it being just repeatedly making no sense. And so that annoyed me.
Yeah. Yes, certainly, because the guide is saying like, oh, she was protected by this like cursed seal, and it's this plate that like the mummy is holding. But again, like, it's out in the open. Yeah. Like, anyone can touch it, which is exactly what happens, because freaking Rodney is like, oh, mine now, I guess. He didn't have enough shavings from the mask he was scraping earlier. Buffy is talking about the guy that's going to be her exchange student. His name is Impata, I think. And they're supposed to meet at like the bus depot. And then we flash back to Rodney, who's left alone in the museum, left to his own devices. He tries to take the plate, he breaks it on the side of the coffin, the tomb. And this freaking mummy, okay, I can't. When its eyelids opened and there was nothing, I was like, no, no, thank you.
Were you afraid?
I just didn't like it. Like, I didn't like it. I don't need to see. Well, the thing is like, as humans, I feel like we're afraid of death, right? Like, because we don't know what happens after, death is naturally pretty terrifying. And so I'm not a huge fan of like looking at dead bodies in general. And so then to have like this like shriveled carcass that has no eyeballs.
Yeah, you got spooked. Jess, have you ever not been able to sleep at like 2 a.m. and just thought about you're going to die one day? Because I have.
Sounds like anxiety. It's like the definition of anxiety.
Yeah, sometimes that happens, but
honestly, no, you know what's funny? No, I don't think about that, but you know why? Because I'm too busy thinking about everyone else around me dying, not me actually dying.
That's
their problem.
That's fair. That's on them. Yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate. However, Miss Impata, which is not really her name. I think that her name is just like Inca Princess, but we'll call her Impata. I'm happy she got this second chance of life, because Miss Girl was 16 years old, got buried alive and died, and then has been cursed as like a mummy and forced to hold a plate for centuries. So I'm really glad, Melissa, that Impata got a second chance of life. And she seems so happy.
She does. So I was looking stuff up because, so first of all, I was looking at the difference between Egyptian and Peruvian mummies, because I was like, this is wild that we did this. And apparently the methods of mummification are quite different. I don't need to go into the details of it. But in looking at that, it was the story of in 1995, they discovered this Incan teenager who was sacrificed and the mummy, whatever. So it's like, this is all very much, I think, based on those news stories that would have been.
So this is a true story. Before this
came out. Every part of it, I think, is 100%
every part of it is a true story. Did she have a name, the Incan princess?
I don't think so. But again, like, I don't think we have any way of knowing it. So if she did have a name, it would have been, you know, given to her by white people many years later. So
A la freaking Pocahontas. Well, I think that was her real name, but didn't they like rename her Elizabeth, which is bullshit, but.
I didn't have that if they did, but yeah.
So the next day, Buffy is sparring with Giles in the library with Xander there, which I'm like, they really need a gym. Like, they really need a gym.
But also, in what universe is Giles the guy like holding up the pad for Buffy as she's fighting? Like, I was like, dude, how is that your job? I don't understand. Like,
make Xander do it,
right? Or like get like a bag or something, right? Like, there's got to be another world in which this like frail librarian does not have to be the one on the receiving end of Buffy kicking him repeatedly. But then the other wild part that I didn't get is he goes like, oh, I'm gonna go ice my shoulder, and you see him in the background of the scene walk back in with an ice pack, which he briefly has on his shoulder, and then he just like holds against his head for the rest of the scene. And I was like, sir, she didn't kick you in the head. I don't
understand. He has a headache. These kids stress him out.
I guess so. I don't know that I've ever iced my head for a headache, but
maybe. Oh, I have. Cool. Oh my God. 1,000% I've iced my head for a headache. Yeah. If it's bad enough, certainly.
Okay. The cooling effect is very wild. Nice.
I was like, sir, that's not your shoulder. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, he's very weary because Buffy is like begging him to go to this dance, this like cultural dance. And he doesn't want her to go because she's a slayer. She's the chosen one. She can't have any fun. And Buffy says, no, I really want to go. Finally, she like breaks him down. And she says she can go. And we find out, Sarah, that Xander is taking Willow, but he's not going to take her. In that sense, he's just taking her. And as they're having this discussion about Xander saying like, oh no, Willow is just my friend, like I've never I've never thought about her lips before. And Willow overhears this, and it's kind of sad, even though we agree Willow should get over Xander. It is sad to have her overhear this.
It's sad. It's sad because she wants it so bad, and everybody's had an unrequited crush. It's very relatable. And I'm sure if she had the choice, she would get over Xander, but she can't quit him. But also her necklace.
I know we can't change anything now because this show is old, right? It's 30 years old. However, can I write a strongly worded letter about not dressing Willow, who is 16 years old, dressing her like she's 12? It is so infuriating. The constant overalls and like silly hats. In this episode, she had a backpack with like a stuffed frog on it. Like, what are we doing? She's not 12. Like,
Stop trying to age her down. And Buffy has like the cutest outfits always. Like that purple outfit that she wore to the museum. It was adorable. Plus the purple sunglasses. It was so cute. Melissa, when was the last time you owned overalls?
Okay, this is there was a trend for a while. Did we discuss this last time I was on the pod? I feel like we might have, where for some reason it was cool when I was, I want to say like 13, 14, to wear overalls but not do them up. So they were like, you had to like, you basically wore them as jeans.
As pants, yeah.
But you didn't wear jeans for some reason. It was like that they were hanging down. And then you had to wear a belt basically to keep them up in that case. But it was like understand why. Yeah, I swear it was like maybe like grade 7, like maybe when we were like 12 or something. I remember them being a thing. And I remember like I wasn't someone that like frequently like had a lot of situations where I was like, oh, I really want this piece of clothing that's like cool and in style and whatever. But I do remember that one where I was like, oh, this is cool. I will say lately I have been on the hunt for overalls. I like keep getting targeted ads for them because I want just like a comfy, pair of overalls.
Like, there's like lounge overalls. I agree, Melissa. Like, I don't have anything against them right now. It's more of like, it's, it's everything they're doing with Willow that's like compounding. Like mm-hmm. if it was just the overalls, that's a cute, you know, a cute little thing, but it's that plus the frog backpack plus the like childish hats. And yeah. it all just like adds up because overalls are back in style. They do have like cute lounge ones. My problem is I've always had issues with buying like rompers and jumpsuits and anything like that, because I don't know, my proportions have never quite, but you know, it's like, yeah. I don't want my vagina to be eating an overall, you know what I mean? Like, which is what happens. They're too short. They're never long enough for me. And I don't even have particularly long legs in terms of like proportions. And then it's just like, you know, there's like a person on TikTok who jokes about like, okay, we're going to test and see if my thighs eat my shorts today. Because mm-hmm. people with thicker thighs, that's like a problem, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah, it's just, it's overall, I get ticked off that they continuously treat Willow like she's so much younger than Buffy, who gets to wear like the cutest little like halter crop tops and stuff. But
I think it's just because you've got Allison Hannigan and you have to somehow make it so that she is not the star of the show. Like,
yeah. you're like, oh, we have to like, pretend she's not pretty.
Yeah, we have to give Sarah Michelle Gellar like all as more focus than she would otherwise get if we allowed Allison Hannigan to like wander around here and be smart and fun, like, and pretty at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so reverse, she's all thatting her.
Yes, it is a reverse. She's all that. Especially because again, she has her hair is like half up, half down, but the part that's up is like, has a few different like scrunchies going down the yeah. end of it. It's just like, oh, like, I remember doing that when I was, like, 10. Yeah. Anyway.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Willow reports that Rodney is missing. His parents say he never came home. And it's like, uh-oh. Like they're joking. They're joking and they're saying, oh, maybe he awakened the mummy. And Buffy's like, oh, and it attacked him. And they're like, oh, shit, we live on Hellmouth. Like, actually, that's like totally reasonable that that could have happened.
1,000% that happened. Yeah. Once again, if you're going on a field trip in Hellmouth, then something's going to go down.
Mm-hmm. So they go to the museum to check things out and they look up and they're like, uh-oh, like the seal is broken. It's missing. And it's like, oh, is the mummy loose? It's like, no, actually, here it is. And then suddenly out of nowhere, a guy, which Melissa, I hope you recognize this man.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. This guy's, he's in Twilight, Sarah. Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, I know him from Twilight. He's like a part of Jacob's like crew because he's like Native American. So it's like, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That makes mm-hmm. sense.
He's been in like a lot of things, but yes, that is kind of the most obvious thing he's from.
Yeah. It was funny because I was watching this with Will and I was like, I know that guy. And he Googled him. And he's like, he's in Twilight. He's in House of Cards. Like he's in a lot of things.
Totally.
Yeah. So he comes out and he just like starts to try to attack them. And it's just like, what the heck is going on? But they're all very distracted until Willow points out this fucking mummy has braces.
Orthodonture. I'm so happy. the amount of like the fact that they this mummy had dental insurance that covers braces is very impressive. I didn't even understand who the guy attacking everybody was until my second watch. And he's essentially a bodyguard there to prevent the seal being broken and the mummy princess being free. However, he did not do his job. Like he had literally one job and he did not do the job. And then he's like attacking people afterwards being like, were you the one that set her free? It's like, well, sir, if you actually did your job the first time, then you wouldn't have to be like, where were you when like that creepy kid that has the braces was breaking shit? You should have been attacking people then.
I didn't understand where this guy came from. Like at first I was like, was he released? when the seal was released, and his job is now to like make sure she doesn't, you know, go around killing everybody? Or is this just like some guy that lives in town who is like, you know, many generations back, like the dudes in the Mummy movie, right? Where they're like, mm-hmm. you know, our ancestors have watched this land waiting for the inevitable, whatever. Like, this show and the movie are the exact same thing. But they're like, is this the guy where it's like my father and my father before him have all been watching this one exhibit or we followed her around America as she's toured in this exhibit to make sure she is never broken free. And then it's like, okay, that's weird. That's a weird, and it wasn't explained in any way. I was like, who is this man? I thought it was the kid at first. Like, I thought that this was this rando kid we met was suddenly back and attacking them. And I was like, why is he doing that? I thought he got sucked up by the mummy. I don't understand. So yeah.
It's so uncertain. And it's like, he just pops out like he's a guy from like Legends of the Hidden Temple. And then like just pops back in. It's very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, they, like you said, they really just don't explain him.
Inconclusive.
Yeah.
He just came like from. Kind of runs off randomly.
Yeah.
Like just Xander like sort of attacks him and then he like leaves. And I was like, sir, I think you could take the teenager. I think it's fine.
Yeah. So Giles says it's going to take me a few weeks to translate all these pictograms. So Giles is off to do some research and Buffy is like, oh shit, I have to go pick up Impata. And of course Xander doesn't like that because he sucks. And so he's like, okay, well I'll come with you. So they go to the bus station and there's the real Impata just waiting. And he hears his voice being said. So he goes to like look around and see who's calling for him. And here comes Inca Mummy Girl. And she just grabs him, kisses him, and basically just sucks his life energy away. And like, I feel like we've seen this before. Like, Melissa, I don't even know. Like, maybe this was on a Doctor Who episode. I feel like this is the sort of thing that we've seen a lot. It's always this like, it's always some, you know, young, pretty girl who needs to suck the life force out of people. And she nearly always does it by kissing them.
Well, it's also hocus pocus. And kind of the, like, not the kissing specifically, but the whole concept is, again, we see it in the Mummy. We see it in many other things. This is not surprising at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, simultaneously, Sarah, that's when Buffy, Willow, and Xander arrive and they're looking for Impata. And suddenly there's this like really young teenage girl, beautiful, gorgeous girl who honestly is kind of dressed like she's an archaeologist.
Yeah. I like her outfit. She has like the androgynous style that like I very much admire.
Do you know
with,
what?
Like a big billowy white button up shirt and like some khaki pants. I like this ensemble a lot.
She gives me vibes of Gal Gadot, I think is how you pronounce her last name, from Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot, yeah. Wait, was this outfit, I think this outfit, was this like the real Impata's outfit?
Yeah, this is what he was wearing.
Well, she really dressed it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what, she's like, let me just tie this in the front, and there you go.
It really worked for me. Such a fashionista. Mm-hmm. Xander is goo-goo-eyed because, once again, it's true love and it's love at first sight. Melissa, you believe in love at first sight, right?
Absolutely not, Sarah. You obviously, you knew that was going to come.
I just can't. I just can't. I'm so happy you're here, Melissa. I just can't. Yeah. Willow's wearing a ridiculous hat.
You can lust, you can like.
Yeah.
I think that love requires a lot more than just, you know, seeing someone and being attracted to them.
I don't know, Xander,
romantic. Like, this whole like, you know, I don't love love, whatever. No, I just hold it to a higher standard than some people. Yes, I am subtweeting Sarah's partner.
Oh my god, that's so funny. We bring Impata back to Buffy's house and you know, we're being very hospitable, offering her milk, older milk, or juice. Impata chooses juice.
I do love the, like, this is very common in, like, especially sitcoms where it's she's answering the questions. We know she's not really Empata. And so when they ask, like, oh, have you been to America? She's like, oh, yeah, I've toured. Where have you been? Oh, I was taken to Atlanta, Boston, New York, like all these like museums and stuff.
Yeah.
It is very funny. We get it because, you know, we're all sitting here like, how does she know English? Like, how, you know, that's not where she's from. Why, you know, why did, you know, suddenly she's like very fluent. And it's, oh, well, she listened. She was listening the entire time.
Just like how many times have you heard people say that they've learned English from watching Friends?
Oh, yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. But like horrifying because she's just been laying there the whole time.
Yeah. Most of those people aren't undead mummies. So, you know, it's less weird when they're undead.
Yeah, it's, I especially love when Buffy's like, oh, sorry, the room is so small. And she's just like, oh, my old one was much smaller.
Yeah, it was like very cramped or something. She said, it was like, yeah, but.
Yeah, what's it like back home? Cramped and dead.
Like ceiling that she had, right? No lid situation.
Yeah, yeah. But Empata, like she says, oh, it was just me. Like I didn't really have any friends, but she really wants Buffy to like help her fit in. And it's you know, so she's going to be like, I don't know. Buffy seems like, I don't know, Sarah, how does Buffy seem to you in terms of like welcoming Empata in? Does she seem like jealous? What is like, I don't understand. Like,
I don't think she's jealous. I just think that. Yeah. Honestly, I kind of feel like she has so much other stuff going on that she really doesn't have time to like babysit Empata. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of my read on it. Like she's just like, I have so much things to figure out. I don't have time to guide you through school and mm-hmm. hold your hand at everything. But she seems like welcoming enough. And I don't mm-hmm. really think that she's jealous of Xander. Like Buffy has seen Xander drool over plenty of girls. And mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why Empata would be any different.
No, yeah, I think if we're looking for jealousy, that's definitely more on the Willow side of things this episode. But we meet, I think this is a new character, Melissa, Devin, who's talking to Cordelia. And the way they introduced him was kind of like, oh, you know him. It's like, I've not seen you before.
That's also how they've handled like the other three Cordelia boyfriends.
Yes. What are we doing? And so they're talking about like, oh, he's apparently in a band. You know, he's very like Kinnicky from Greece, kind of like this like leather jacket. And Sven is like, this is her foreign exchange student. He's following her around and she's just like yelling at him. And Melissa, God, she's giving Americans, we already have a bad reputation. She's just leaning into it of, he doesn't even speak American. It's like, oh, good God, Cordelia. It's horrible. Then Melissa, Seth Green just randomly shows up.
Yeah, I had no idea he was in the show.
I didn't either. And it's like, yeah. Okay, he's here now and he's in a band with Devin.
This seeing Seth Green really opened up a little portal of memory for me. And I was like, I do know that Seth Green is in this show.
Like oh, you I knew this. Okay.
I did. I totally forgot until I saw him and I was like, he's in this show. Like mm-hmm. this is not a cameo, Jessica. Like you need to know this man. His name is Oz.
I kind of figured that out because as I said in the beginning of the podcast, Melissa, as soon as I saw Seth Green, I'm like, okay, who are they going to put him with? Willow, naturally, right? Mm-hmm. The two redheads, height-wise, they're going to look good on screen together. Like, you know, they love to like hook a short man up with a fellow shorty. So like, we knew that was going to happen. And of course, because one of the first conversations Oz is a part of is he's having a conversation with Devin about like how Devin will pretty much date any girl and Oz is very picky. And so it's like, okay, we know what we're setting up here.
Do you think mm-hmm. that Oz is like a new Scooby? Like, do we think that we're going to have an initiated member soon?
I think he's Scooby adjacent right now. What do you think, Melissa?
I'm trying to think of the last time I saw Seth Green in something where he wasn't like skeezy. And so I feel like I am immediately just like, do you know what? I don't trust this guy. Like, I don't like him for Willow. I don't know. I'm just like very immediately nervous about him. And I don't know why. I think it's just because of whatever else I've seen him in. I feel like he's always playing some like entitled punk and I don't like it. So I'm just like, I don't know, but you're going to have to win me over on here. But I did like that he thought he was all like into Willow and her outfit because that was very cute at the end. But yeah, I don't know. I also thought it was funny at one point where the guy's like, yeah, you know, you play lead guitar or whatever. You could get any girl you wanted. And I was like, could he? Could Seth Green get any girl he wanted? I don't know about that.
I don't know. Like, I feel like he, Seth Green, really had his moment in the 90s. And I bet that Seth Green pulled a lot of girls.
Seth Green gives like BDE energy. Like, I feel like he just like, he's a small man, but he exudes confidence, and confidence is pretty much key for a lot of things. So I think he could pull chicks for sure.
Guarantee you there's probably Seth Green nudes. And
why,
I can,
why would I want to look at those?
You say
that as if I'd be in it for research.
Yeah.
I need to research Seth Green's dick. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh no.
So Willow and Xander are talking about their outfits that they're going to be wearing to this dance where, again, they have to like dress up from different cultures. And Buffy and Impata get to school. Xander is, of course, very distracted because he thinks Impata is so pretty. And Giles is like talking to a bunch of students and he has the seal. And so he hands it over to Impata and he's like, oh, can you translate this? And she gets like very, very nervous, which I feel like Giles should have picked up on. Sarah.
She's being very, very suspicious. She's like, oh, you need to hide this. This is very dangerous. Maybe you should just toss it out. Maybe you should burn it. It's like, she's being so suspicious, but they're not picking up on it. So it's working. They're like, you know what? I don't think we want to throw it out just yet. Maybe we should just like research it more. She's like, nope, you got to throw it out. Silly beans.
Yeah. And Melissa, this is where we get the explanation of like the bodyguard guy of like what exactly his role is.
The other thing, why is this man wearing what looked to me like a karate outfit? That was also
there's no other explanation.
Because it's cultural appreciation day.
First of all, this entire dance is like 100% not happening nowadays.
Oh, never. No. Never.
Yeah.
Hey, white kids, you want
to get your sombrero.
A bunch of
I even feel icky when you're at like a Mexican restaurant, they sing happy birthday and they bring out the sombrero and force you to wear it. It's just like, no cultural appropriation, even though I am having fun at my fiesta.
Oh my gosh. So Xander offers to give Impata a tour, and poor little Willow with her little froggy backpack. She's like, oh, they really like each other. And like, I don't understand. Okay. Impata, I understand that you haven't had like a boyfriend in like a really, really, really long time, like thousands of years and everything. And that like, you know, that well has run dry and you're thirsty. But seriously, Melissa, like a man shoving an entire Twinkie in his mouth is attractive to you?
No. What is happening? Why? Guys, like,
girls, you are so underestimating the power of a funny man.
He's funny. I am not, Sarah.
He's making her laugh. She thinks it's so funny. She has the same quirky sense of humor. Like, he is like, yes, he's shoving a Twinkie in his mouth, but also like she does it too, and they're like laughing about it. She thinks that he's hilarious.
Yeah, choking to death on a Twinkie is like absolutely hysterical.
So Xander's not your brand of comedy. That's great. Thank gosh you don't have to date him. But
speaking with your mouth full is never funny,
and
Sarah.
And Pata thinks it's funny. She thinks it's funny.
I mean, the girl's been dead for hundreds of years. I don't think her taste is really all that great.
she just thinks that he's like a funny guy, and she really likes that he makes her laugh. So she's into it. It's just like how Taylor Swift has been dating all these like poets and actors and serious people. And even though she is dating Travis Kelce now, and he might not know how to spell squirrel, he makes her laugh and she loves that. And she's so in love. That's what it is. It's the same exact thing.
Is Travis Kelce known for his humor?
He's so funny. Yeah.
Is he?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Okay. Of course. He makes her laugh all the time. All damn day. Yeah.
I love how Sarah talks as if she's in the same room as them 90% of the day. I've seen her laughing at his jokes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, the amount that I follow it on Twitter, I'm in the same room.
I've thankfully gotten it out of my TikTok algorithm, and I'm pretty proud of myself.
Good for you. But he's like, you know, like he makes a joke about like teaching her English. He's like, don't learn English from me. She laughs. Like, she likes Xander because he's funny to her and they can laugh together and just be silly.
Meanwhile, Willow is
bawling. I love a guy that makes me laugh that I can be silly with. It is like probably the number one character trait that I am drawn to. I get it.
Yeah.
Also, this is vile and disgusting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's gross. Willow is wallowing. She's sad because Xander doesn't like her, and Buffy's like, I think you should just move on. But quickly Buffy makes a discovery, and Giles says that, well, it seems like the mummy actually probably did kill Rodney because it is capable of feeding on the life force of a person, effectively freeze drying them. Horrifying. Have you seen freeze dried Skittles and stuff? They look so weird. They like puff up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Why would they that's so weird?
Because it makes them like crunchy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Instead of chewy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was thinking like most things don't, is it like because there's air in them normally?
Yeah, it like puffs up.
Right.
You gotta Google it. I'm sure you could probably order them.
But like the reason I'm confused is because like making something colder shrinks it almost always, right? Because the one exception to that is water, right? Like freezing water makes it expand. Otherwise, everything else tends to shrink and then tends to expand when it gets hot. But it's like, wait, but why? I don't know.
I don't know, but you can go on Etsy and you can get freeze-dried Skittles for $9.99, a 1-pound resealable bag.
I think I'm good.
You don't want that? This person has a 5-star rating, Mighty Merchandise.
That's great.
Tasted great and very professional.
Wow. The bodyguard is attacking Xander. I was like, maybe he will stab him. Maybe we'll get lucky. It didn't happen.
Maybe he kind of reminds me of Zorro.
The bodyguard?
Yeah.
In what way?
His outfit?
Isn't he wearing all white?
Yes. Yeah, this guy's wearing all white.
Zara wears all black and a mask and fights with like a rapier.
Maybe I'm not thinking of Zorro then.
There's like, but he did wear an outfit, right? And he had a weapon.
Yeah. That's true. Who am I thinking about? So they're
basically identical.
Three Musketeers? Is that somebody?
They're just dressed like French dudes and similar with the weapons.
Yeah, no, I'm not thinking about the Three Musketeers.
I mean, this guy looks more like, you know, a samurai pizza cat than anything else.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Some older weapons.
So they were back in the library, and at this point, so they're like trying to calm down Empata, right? They're like, oh, what does this guy want? He talked about the seal. And at this point, it's like, shouldn't you realize Empata is not who she says she is? I mean, you know that the mummy can suck the life force out of people. You know Empata was supposed to be a man showing up. She's interested in Xander, which is immediately suspicious. Right. And like the bodyguard is following her around. Let's like, come on. Right, Melissa? I feel like they should have caught on a little quicker than this.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like too many clues for us to be like, oh, okay, wow. look, we're so surprised. Like, we obviously, the audience, know what's happening the whole time. But mm-hmm. when you spell it out this clearly for the, like, supernatural seeking crime fighters, like, yeah, they should have known.
Mm-hmm. Especially Sarah, when Empata, like, freaks out. She's like, you have to destroy the seal. It nearly got us killed. And she yeah. runs away.
I mean, it's very suspicious. It's very, very suspicious. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they tell Empata that they're part of the crime club. She's like, very, you know what? We had to tell you the truth. We're not part of the archaeological club. We're actually part of the crime club. And so then later stupid. Buffy is like, I have to do crime club business. I can't go to the dance.
How did this not get John instead of Scoobies? The crime club.
Yeah, crime club. The yeah. CC.
Wait, so perfect. Is the Scoobies the actual name for them, or did you all assign that?
No. That is like the fans called them Scoobies, and we don't know why. And it's never been made apparent. Beyond Willow has worn a few different Scooby-Doo t-shirts.
Yeah.
Right. Because she's 12, remember?
Yeah. She loves Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. Xander wants to take Empata to the dance, and Willow's like, oh, you should take her. And you know what? We'll just see you there. And Xander just rubs it right. He's rubbing salt in this wound, Melissa. And he goes, oh, Willow, you're my best friend.
Yep. Yeah. Cause there's a point where, yes, Xander doesn't owe Willow feelings for her. Like, that's not mm-hmm. that's not how any of that works. But you also, when Willow has made it very obvious that she does have feelings for her, you also have to not be a jerk about it. And so, you know, like, maybe if you know that your friend has a crush on you, you don't, like, very openly crush on literally every other woman in the world. And, like, yeah, this is all just Xander being a dum-dum.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Buffy and Giles are discussing who this bodyguard is, why he wants this, like, seal, what the deal is with it. And they're like, okay, well, obviously they have to be, like, combined or something like that. So maybe we should go to the museum and see if we can find the other pieces. And they're like, oh, but Buffy can't, Sarah. She has dance plans. She's busy.
Yeah, she is still trying to deal with the fact that she's a 16-year-old that wants to do 16-year-old things and her crime club business, which is very serious. It's like a full-time job.
Yeah, crime club takes precedent. Xander asks Empata to the dance, and he's surprised when she says yes and that she likes him. And we do get a very funny callback, Melissa. He asks if she's a praying mantis.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good call.
It made me laugh.
Should be questioning this as much as the rest of us are.
Yeah. I laughed out loud in this scene when he said that. And so did she, because she thinks that he's so dreamy and funny.
Yeah, because the bar is on the ground. She's been dead for 500 years.
Or they have natural chemistry together and they were a good match. And mm-hmm. if only there weren't hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years between them and a couple of deadness, the mummification. If only. Yeah. It's like Kate and Leopold. They made it work.
I've not seen that movie.
Neither have I.
Yeah, wait, I don't know.
Have I? I think I might have.
You might have.
A long time ago.
Yeah. It's just like one guy is from like a long time ago, one person's from now. Yes. They, like, find each other. They fall in love. And, you know, they had centuries between them, but they made it work. And I think maybe Leopold got to stay. Good for him. A different ending for Empata, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. She goes into the bathroom to touch up her lipstick, and the bodyguard is already there. And he says, you're dead, and you have been for 500 years. And she says, that's not fair. I was innocent. And he says, yeah, but the people that you're killing now so that you can live, they're innocent. And Empata says, please, I'm in love. And the bodyguard calls her the chosen one. Melissa, there are so many chosen ones on the show.
Is there a reality, Melissa, that Empata, once upon a time before she became a mummy, was a slayer?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, gosh, who knows what the rules are for the show anymore. So yeah, I know y'all have speculated that there should be like other slayers in other parts of the world, right? So yeah, maybe. I do think that there is kind of an interesting beat that we will get with like that and Buffy and like the connection there. So I do think that that is interesting. And, you know, whether it's just like a chosen one for a totally different purpose of we choose you to sacrifice to appease the weather gods or whatever it is. The real example of the Incan teenager, they found it. They figured it out that it's probably happened after like a volcanic eruption, so that it was sort of a like, please no more volcanoes. That was really bad. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. I guess you can be chosen in many different ways.
Yeah, truly. What else did I want to ask? Oh, I have a really good idea for Impata. Instead of killing teenagers, she should just go to like a hospital where people are like near death anyway and take their life force. And then in a way she's like, you know.
But I think like
she needs young wrong, people.
But I imagine like
you're wrong, but let me explain why it physically would not work.
I'm just thinking that she probably needs someone young because they have so much life left to live. So like in that case, she's getting more than like if you were like, I'm gonna go suck the life out of like a bedridden 80-year-old, like you're probably not gonna get that much juice. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Like you'd have to suck off. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
What?
How many
80-year-olds would you have to suck off?
Suck off like 10 80-year-olds.
Please tell me.
I'm just saying, otherwise like one teenager is probably equal to like 10 80-year-olds, so I'm just saying, I don't know, but
I'm just thinking, even if that's not true, like the fact that she has to go through like three in the span of a day, like how long is this whole thing? So it's like there's not that gonna be that many bedridden 80-year-olds.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it was a thought. I'm just trying to see how she can stay because
she can't because she's a murdering mummified corpse.
But she's just doing it to survive. It's not like she means to kill everybody. She's not doing maliciously.
She's not killing them maliciously.
She's doing it out of survival.
Mm-hmm. Well, she kills the bodyguard, sucks his life force out. Well,
sucks to suck, man. You know, Buffy is trying to unpack Pata's things that just came in from, I don't know, some sort of baggage delivery service. And Pata doesn't want her to because it has men's underwear in it.
And a corpse.
Yeah. And a little bit of a corpse.
And like a desiccated corpse.
Little corpse.
Why would she pack that?
What was she going to do? Just leave the dead body there?
I guess
so. I mean, it's not her problem.
But also, where did these bags come from? They were like, oh,
they were at the bus station, I guess. Like she said, the bus station sent the rest of your bags. I don't know why she didn't bring them. I don't know why he wouldn't have had his bag. You know what I mean? It doesn't make a ton of sense, but yeah. But Impata doesn't have lipstick, so Buffy like offers her some lipstick, and Impata's like, oh, you're so selfless, you're so generous. And this is again like very suspicious. Like, why doesn't she? I mean, plenty of women don't have lipstick, but like also Impata didn't recognize her own bags. Like, there's a lot going on that's a little weird here.
It's Impata because she's a natural beauty. She doesn't need lipstick.
I mean, she's gorgeous. But she says that Buffy reminds her of the Inca princess. She says they told her she was the only one, that only she could defend her people from the netherworld. Out of all the girls in her generation, she was the only one. And Buffy says chosen. And it's just like, yeah, like it's Melissa, there's a lot of connective tissue here between, you know, fake Impata and Buffy.
Yeah, I thought this was actually kind of the most interesting part of the episode. Again, it's about a character that we are invested in that we really care about, right? So it's just more about Buffy and how she is carrying the weight of this and finding kind of a kindred spirit in that, regardless of the fact that she's also a, you know, mummified corpse. But Yeah, I thought that was good. I also just had like a flash memory. Jess, I doubt you remember this, but the very first conversation you and I ever had was about lipstick. Do you remember?
About lipstick?
So
Is it about red lipstick?
I was complimenting you on your lipstick at like, cause you, I was like, oh yeah, by the way, you were like really pretty, like whatever. I was like giving you a compliment after seeing you on a video thing, like way back in the day. And I just had this moment of, I was like, wait, I think those were the first message I ever sent to Jess Sterling.
Was yeah, like, that makes sense. Lipstick. I love a convo about red lipstick. In my opinion, no one looks bad in red lipstick. Most people are just too afraid to try it because it's a very bold look, but everyone looks good in red lipstick. You just find the right shade of red. And it looks killer. That and black, and you're all set to go.
Anyone can say, I wear mostly black lipstick if I'm wearing lipstick at all.
Yeah.
How about gold lipstick, which is what Buffy lent in Pata?
What even is that? I didn't get it.
No.
Yeah, everyone just has gold lipstick ready and available.
I was like, is it like a glitter lip? Is it like a brown with like I didn't
it was it. Gold like when you see her put it on and she's at the party, it's gold, it's a gold lip.
Yeah, it's a look,
certainly a look. Yeah, and Pazza almost opens up Buffy's special drawer full of stakes and crosses, and Buffy almost opens up and Pazza's bags full of corpses.
They both got secrets. They're chosen ones with secrets.
Yeah, they're both really, really hiding things from each other.
Mm-hmm. Xander shows up looking like an idiot. I don't know. He says he's from the country of Leon. Is that how you pronounce it?
Leon.
He says it's in Italy, pretending to be Montana. It looks like he's trying to be on the set of Yellowstone.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a look. I don't know. A couple's costume with Impata, I suppose. I don't know what Impata's supposed to be, but.
I was going
to
say, in what world is this a couple's costume? I don't think she's just wearing like some dress, right?
Yeah.
No. It's definitely something with. Something. I'm not quite sure. I thought this was a couple's costume because they're so in love.
I thought she was dressed like an Inca princess because she's literally an Inca princess.
Yeah, that's sort of my assumption. In which case, Xander is not matching her in any way.
No, that's not compatible.
Well, it's really hard to get a couple's costume in like a day, so
Xander and Impata are going to the dance. Buffy and Giles are going monster hunting. And Willow is being left out because Xander sucks. And Joyce is like overjoyed. She looks more happy for Impata than she's literally ever looked for Buffy. She's like, look at her go. Look at her go to that dance. She's such a normal child. Like shading Buffy.
It's just like my mom loving Melissa more than me.
That's not true, Sarah. I liked this moment where Impata says like, oh, Buffy's too stubborn, like couldn't convince her to go to the dance. And the look that like Buffy and her mom exchange, I actually thought was kind of cute. I thought it was sort of this like mother-daughter, like, you know, yes, I'm stubborn, but where do you think I get it from kind of like look. But I don't know. To me, there was like a cute moment here between mom and daughter, but I don't know.
Yeah. You need to know more about Joyce.
I mean, we've gotten a little bit from her last episode, which I appreciated.
Yeah, like a nugget. There's just more there to uncover.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta be patient.
We go to the Bronze, where the band is playing. So Devin and Oz's band. Dingoes Ate My Baby. Love the band name. It's perfect.
It's a great band. That's
unfortunate. It's great. And Cordelia comes in. I don't. Okay. She looks like she's dressed for Hawaii.
Yeah.
Is that what this? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say. I mean.
Yeah. But just really like offensively so. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just going to put a lei on and wear a cute little beach outfit. She walks past Willow, who's dressed again, full head to toe Inuit, like furred jacket, hood up. I'm like, I would be sweating buckets. Like you are in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. Wearing a really, really heavy jacket used in very, very wintry, snowy conditions, I would be sweating. Willow, how are you living?
It's just an embarrassing thing because, you know, You know you're supposed to dress sexy for this party.
Okay, but
and you chose Willow anyway
to wear this. That's sexy.
Embarrassing.
Oh, let her live.
There's one guy that's dressed like a Jewish man.
No.
Yes.
If you have to pause down and look at all these costumes, like every single one of them is offensive.
Cultural appropriation to the umpteenth degree.
Yeah. The woman dressed as a geisha. I was like, nope. Yeah. Shut it down. Yeah,
it's all bad.
Stop it right now. It's all terrible. Hi,
welcome. Come to my racist party.
Yeah. Which, like, you know, these used to be and probably still are a thing, right? Where it was a lot of like, oh, we're going to dress up in whatever. Like, yeah, there was so much of this happening in this time. So I'm not at all surprised that this is what's going on, but yeah.
Yeah. Cordelia is frustrated because Sven is just following her around. And like, he doesn't seem to say much. She just kind of follows her. Poor Willow.
I'm still hung up on this, like, you have to dress sexy for the party thing. Because that is just like my favorite Halloween costume I ever wore was the Paper Bag Princess, which is a Canadian children's book about a girl who, like, she's a princess. Her whole castle gets burnt down by a dragon, and she, like, fights off a dragon, and she's the best. And so I, like, literally got, like, big lawn, like, bags that you, like, sweep leaves into and stuff, and I made an outfit out of it, and I, like, back combed all of my hair, and as if I had just been, you know, like, blown on by a dragon, and I was so happy with that outfit, and it was like absolutely not going to get me anything. And yeah, I remember actually going to a club with friends, and the guy that I had a crush on was like all focused on this like sexy Sherlock Holmes, and I was like, yeah, he thinks that he's, you know, picking the literary one, so he's not falling for the same things everybody else. But he's just going for the one because she looks super sexy. But yeah, anyway, I felt for Willow in this moment because that has always been me.
Yeah, same. Like, it very much gives, like, Britta from Community vibes, where she's dressed as, like, a squirrel. Like, she, you know, she's not going for the sexy look. She's just, like, and I think Willow is very much, like, I have to imagine she thought really hard about what she wanted to wear, you know, as much as this is cultural appropriation and does not age well. I think she was like, she was helping Xander come up with ideas for like which culture he should do. And it feels like she like thought about it. And I like it. I just think there's like, I don't know. She just looks cute. She has a little red lip. Like she looks cute in her little winter outfit.
And even if so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Willow says, oh, you guys look great. But she obviously looks like pretty miserable because
she's really hot in that outfit. That's why she looks really miserable.
Yeah. Giles comes to Buffy's house and he's like, oh, hey, the bodyguard was found in the school restroom mummified. And Giles says, yeah, he was a guard, but it's because it was his job to ensure that the mummy didn't awaken and escape. And
so Buffy, he deserves to die because he didn't do his job.
Well, the thing is, too, is like, I still don't understand how Buffy isn't cluing in on everything, because she's like, oh, so Impacha just translated it wrong. It's like, how the fuck do you not really? I'm sorry, Buffy, you're usually so much smarter than this. Like, how do you not realize it's her at this point? It's ridiculous. They went a little too long for the reveal in this episode.
Yeah, but again, I was like, okay, if this guy has been like guarding, why was he not dressed up as like a museum staffer or guard or anything? Like, what's with the karate outfit? I don't get it.
Yeah, no idea. So in comes Giles. He's just like maybe, but Buffy's like, wait a minute, she was so weird about the seal this whole time. And he's like, and then she realizes, wait a minute, the trunks. And she finds a dead body in the trunk. So
did confirmed. She just like tear open the lock on this luggage? It seemed like she just like
she has super strength.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I am impressed by her super strength.
I mean, yeah. She can jump. What can't she do? You know,
she's very talented.
Mm-hmm.
We are back at the party, and Seth Green is jamming.
Yeah, he says, "Oh, who's that girl?" And of course, Devin's like, "Oh, the sexy Inca mummy girl." And he's, "No, the one in the coat." And it's Willow.
Yeah, sweet.
It is very sweet, and I'm very excited, and I really love that even though she is dressed so poorly, he loves that about her.
Some of us get loved in spite of our fashion sense, Sarah.
And some people really like a fluffy coat. Some people think that's attractive.
It's so heavy.
I think she's endearing. I think that's what it is he sees her, and it's like very endearing just to see someone who's not trying to dress all sexy.
All other girls. Yeah.
She is.
I'm excited for her. I really am.
You don't look excited.
No, she doesn't look excited.
It's just my face. I just don't look happy ever.
Oh my gosh. So unfortunately, Empata is like starting to get a little mummy-ish again, but she doesn't want to kiss Xander, and they're like dancing on the dance floor. They're getting very close to kissing, but she doesn't want to hurt him. So she runs off, and he's like, "What did I do?" It's like, okay, well, I was hoping, like, the entire episode, Will and I were like, have her kiss him, suck his life force out. Didn't happen.
I admit, there was like good chemistry here between the two of them. Like, I'm not denying that at all. I just didn't need the close up when they do eventually kiss, because it was so zoomed in. I didn't like it.
Always zoomed in. Yeah, the effects is pretty interesting, because like the mummification shows up on her fingers and they get all like weird and wrinkly. Like, she knows. Mm-hmm. She knows that it's time for her to suck another life force. And it really is unfortunate that the reset time is so quick.
Yeah, it's not a ton of time. Longer,
everything would be fine, right?
Yeah. So she runs off the dance floor. She finds a guy that's like sitting alone. Meanwhile, Giles and Buffy have figured out that Empata is the mummy. And so Giles is going to drop her off at the dance to get Xander and like warn him. And he's going to go to the museum to try to like assemble the pieces of the seal. This is like, Empata basically is like, "Oh, I'm just going to suck off this random, and that way I can get back to having fun with Xander." But before she's able to, they get interrupted, and she still has mummy hands, and it's not looking good.
Who among us has not sucked off a random, right?
Also, I really like how she's like, Sarah, if you know that like, the hands are what turn first, right? Like, your hands are what turn first when you're turning back into a mummy. Why is she running them all over his face?
To be sexy.
But isn't one of them all creepy and mummified already?
Yeah. He pulls it out too. He says, "Your hands feel kind of rough."
Yeah. She's like, so "I haven't used lotion today.
I haven't used lotion in 500 years.
I need my Jergens." Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, yeah. She just wants to be, but she almost gets caught kissing the guy by Xander. And she's just like, "I am a dirty cheater. Not only am I a mummy, but I'm also a cheater on you. I don't deserve you, Xander."
Yeah. And he says, "Oh, what, you don't, why don't you think that you deserve me?" And he goes, "Man, I love you." And I'm like, what? Yeah. You know him for like 2 days, Xander. What are you doing? This is
love is okay. Love.
No,
they were meant to be together.
Oh, yay.
Love is love, and it takes knowing anything about a person to love them.
No, she looks at him with her big doe eyes, and he's just in it. And she cries and goes, "Are those tears of joy? Are they pain? Revulsion?" And she goes, "No, I'm very happy. I'm just a mummy." I don't think she says that.
No, she says, "I'm very happy and very sad."
Yeah. He's like, "Talk to me. We need to have good communication, because I read that good communication is the key to true love on the web." And she's like, "I can't tell you. It's a secret." But I don't know. It's just like two star-crossed lovers. Are they going to make it work? I don't know. She cries. She's very sad.
Yeah. But happy. And then they go to kiss. Yeah. And she pulls him in for like a harder kiss. And suddenly his life force is starting to drain out of him. And I was like, yes. Now is the time. Even though I knew it was a fruitless, you know, also, can I just, this is the second Xander romance storyline we've gotten, Melissa. And I'm just like, can we anybody else, literally anybody, another rando? I don't care. Give that rando guy that Impata almost killed, give him a romance storyline.
I mean, I think, you know, maybe it's coming for Willow, but yeah, I don't know. This was just a bit, well, I think it's very funny that, like, very obviously Xander is going to be on this show, and yet how much you're rooting for him to be like offed by this mummy. It was very fun.
Just want him to die. But she basically like just shocks him and he falls to the ground. As Melissa was saying earlier, too many close-ups of them kissing, like to the point where it's like not even all their face. It's just like a zoom in on an eyeball. It's like, what are we doing here?
I like it. It's sexy.
Oh.
Wait, okay. Meanwhile, Giles is working on a 6-piece puzzle. And he's like, I am desperate to figure this out. And he has like the old like rubber cement out. And he's like, I gotta put together this puzzle. It's really, really hard. Oh, it's a mess.
Willow is trying to get a piece of cheese off of like this cheese tower. I don't know which flag this is. I'm trying to figure it out. There's three stripes, red on the top, then white, and then blue. Does anybody know what flag this is?
France, bitch.
But why is there a cheese tower? Oh, is it supposed to be the Eiffel Tower or something?
Red on the, wait, is it three horizontal stripes?
Yes.
Red on the top.
Then white. White. And then blue.
Yeah, that's not France.
That's not France.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, that's the other way. France is vertical lines.
Red on. Okay. Now we're not great at geology. White.
It's the Netherlands. You
mean geography?
Yeah, that's geography.
No, I know. You said geology.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, roll back the tapes.
Yeah. Okay, the flag of the Netherlands.
Oh, it's the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Are they known for their cheese?
Always known for their cheese.
It's just like, it looks like someone took a hunk of cheddar and cut it up into a bunch of pieces and made it into a tower and stuck some toothpicks in it and called it a day. I don't understand what this is.
And technically it's vexology? No, it's not vexology. It's
the study of flags?
Yeah, it's the study of flags. And I wish I knew how to pronounce it. Vexillology.
There's vexillology.
Vexillology.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like it. Yeah. So Giles is trying to assemble the puzzle.
Wait, why is Google trying to tell me what a flag scientist is called? What science is happening about flags?
I mean, it's the what is it? What is a flag scientist called?
A vexillologist.
Vexillologist, yeah.
One who designs flags is a vexillographer. Okay, this is weird. Anyway.
Also, the Netherlands got their colors from the French Revolution, so it's not what goes that far off.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
Willow and Buffy find Xander, and it turns out Impata has run off to protect the whole seal situation. So she gets to Giles. She starts strangling him. In comes Buffy. Kicky, kicky, punchy, punchy. We got some fun action sequences here.
Well, she smashed the seal, right?
Yeah.
She, like, smashed it into bits. That is a lot more than a 6-piece puzzle.
Well, and but it was like, this happened. And then it didn't matter. And I was like, why didn't matter. The whole seal thing.
The seal never mattered. Yeah.
Completely. It got so annoyed.
What? It doesn't make sense. So Impata is about to strangle Willow. And then Xander, being the hero that he is, he's like, wait a minute. We can have eternal happiness. Take me. Sacrifice me. And she's like, at first she's like, no. But then she's like, sure, actually. I changed my mind. Like, I will do this for you. Because her neck is starting to get all wrinkly, like my bubby's was before. But
shouts to your bubby. So she tries to like kiss Xander, but Buffy is able to get the lid off of the coffin open. And this is so nasty. Xander's able to like hold her off long enough where she like re-mummifies. Buffy yanks her off of Xander and her arms just come off.
Okay, hold on. So wait. I guess the reason why that happened was because like she timed out, right?
Yeah, it was strike of midnight pumpkin situation. Classic Cinderella story.
Yeah, but they didn't bother like telling us that at any point in the episode of like, oh, she'll have to feed every 12 hours or
they were too focused on the seal.
Like, yeah, which didn't matter. So I was so annoyed when I was like, the way you ultimately defeated her had nothing to do with the thing you were doing all episode.
Yeah, that is really weird. And the arms were pretty disgusting.
There was like little like gross bits dangling
out. Yeah, because Buffy pulls her off of Xander and the arms are still on Xander and Buffy has the body of the mummy. Yeah,
nasty.
Disgusting. Yeah. And then everybody just like looks at her sadly and they're like, she was hot.
Oh, well.
Also, multiple of them end up like in the tomb or whatever, or in the,
Buffy ended up in there.
Yeah, but didn't Giles also end up in there?
Yeah. Everyone's taking a turn in the tomb. And the next day we get a little bit of a debrief from Xander and Buffy where he's just like, oh, I have the worst taste in women. And you know, Buffy tries to say, well, Impata wasn't like evil, you know, she's like
exactly.
She got her life taken away from her at a very young age. Buffy says that's the thing. Like Buffy relates to Impata because she says, when I first heard the prophecy that I was going to die, I wasn't exactly obsessed with like doing the right thing. And Xander says, yeah, but you did. You gave up your life. And this is the moment I was talking about, Melissa, where Buffy says to Xander, like, yeah, but you brought me back. And it felt a little too like damsel in distress kind of thing for me, you know?
I read like no romantic into this moment. To me, it was just like a like, yeah, but I have friends, basically. Exactly. Like I have people who have my back and she didn't kind of thing. So that was how I took this. I did think it was funny though. Yeah, this whole like, because she didn't maybe start out evil, but I think the moment that you have murdered multiple people in order to extend your own life, I think you cross into like evil territory.
But the issue is that it's them or her, you know? If she doesn't
right, feed, but if you are choosing yourself to the detriment of other people, that's still not okay.
I say neutral, you know? What? I say that she's neutral. Like she's not
neutral. She sucked the life out of people.
She's neutral. She's not maliciously doing it. She's just doing it for survival. She's neutral.
Sure.
Like on that thing, you know, the thing nine boxes.
If you are like in need of a heart transplant, right?
Yes.
And you go and like, nobody wants to voluntarily give you their heart. So you go and like murder somebody to take their heart. That's still an evil thing to do. That's not you for your own survival, be a neutral person.
Or what she needs to do is sneak into the hospital, into the freezer section where the hearts are, and take it for herself. The
freezer section of the hospital?
What?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Also, has she tried? Not that I want her to do this, but has she tried like sucking the life out of animals, like rather than human beings?
Is that just start barking?
It's not really better. I don't know. I'm trying to think, you know, like, you know, maybe like an old fish or something.
Also, Sarah, when like organ transplants happen, do you think that there's just like a stockpile in the hospital?
They keep them in the freezer. Just keep them on ice. They'll be fine.
They last
a long time, don't they? Their expiration date's not for at least a couple weeks.
No, I don't. I do not think that. However, I just think that, you know, she just wanted to have the life that she was never supposed to have. She died.
And that's tragic. But her being tragic also doesn't make her not evil, murdering multiple people.
Yes.
People in Sunnydale are
Sunnydale.
Yeah.
They're disposable. Everyone's disposable. If you're a teenager, you're disposable.
Okay. Moving on. That was our episode. We did get some feedback. We got an email from Justin, the creator of the vampire quiz that we took last week.
We got 60% on that quiz, I think.
He said he didn't intend for it to be mostly Marvel, but when he sat down to do it, the first things that came to his head were Marvel stuff. He said he is glad that we're enjoying the new additions to the show. He said, I can't razz Sarah anymore. As if I had watched this when it originally aired, Spike would have been my bisexual awakening. I was immediately drawn to him. Understandable.
Oh, yeah. Melissa, do you think that Billy Idol's, a.k.a. Spike, is, like, badass cool?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the character Very that cool. I think I alluded to last time I was on the pod that I, like, knew somebody was coming.
Oh, okay.
I was just, like, aware of Spike as a character on this show. Yeah. So I, like, I knew he was a vampire. I knew he was on the show. I don't really know anything more than that. But, yeah, that was, I was like, oh, this guy finally showed up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin said, I can't wait to hear your reactions to the hijinks Spike and Drew get up to as we progress through the season. I'm glad to hear Jess is getting fed up with Angel's information or lack thereof. It got old very fast with me and is part of the reason why he's at the bottom of my list with Buffy. As for your questioning how Buffy didn't zero. Yeah, he doesn't like Buffy that much either. As for your questioning how Buffy didn't zero in on Spike in the bronze right away, I don't think she has a spidey sense about it. I think it's because when she figured out the vampire the first time, Giles told her to concentrate and look out there. So she was focused on looking. Whereas with Spike, she was more focused on dancing with her friends. That makes sense.
Yeah. Somebody else said the reason was because she's digmatized.
I think both can be true.
Yeah.
Finally, it's kind of funny since your guest took one of my suggestions, but since you're into the vampire stuff now, I highly suggest doing a bonus to the first two Blade movies. Both came out in the 90s and are quite good. Interesting. Have you ever seen the Blade movies, Sarah?
No.
Me neither. So
I've heard good
things. To the list.
Yeah. Blade.
Blade. As for a series suggestion down the line, I mean, you guys have mentioned it before a ton. Why not do Power Rangers? The Zordon saga? Zordon? Is
that the one with Julie?
She was definitely on it in the 90s. Yeah, she was the Pink Power Ranger in the 90s. The Zordon saga is all in the 90s and would at least be an entertaining watch, I think, especially in space. Oh, I think In Space might be the title of an episode because it's in it's capitalized.
I would try it.
So that's from Justin. Thank you, Justin. We'll have to check out the Blade movies. Like maybe we'll do like a Blade month and we'll cover the first and second or something like that.
Melissa, were you a Power Rangers girly?
I mean, sort of. I feel like everybody was in my year. Yeah. And it was very much like what color ice pack you had in your lunch was like what Power Ranger were you? But I also went through a very anti-pink phase. So I like didn't like the pink Power Ranger.
No, but yet. Like
and there was an anti-pink phase too.
I was the yellow Power Ranger girl. I liked Trini. She was my preference. So sorry, Julie, we don't want you.
We also got a message from Jamie about some recommendations because I think I must have mentioned the end of the last podcast to send in some recommendations for stuff for us to cover. She said for TV, My So-Called Life, which Sarah, I feel like we've gotten so many suggestions to do.
Yep. That is, I think, our number one requested series.
Mm-hmm. That 70s show, which that was on in the 90s?
I don't know.
Also, that's confusing my brain to think about covering a show about the 70s that aired in the 90s.
Maybe started in 1998. I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. I thought it was in the aughts. And Party of Five is the other one that.
Party of Five is a great suggestion.
For movies, Titanic, which how have we not covered Titanic? That's like shocking, honestly.
Who has 5 hours?
Fair enough.
My Girl. Oh my God. He doesn't have his glasses.
Wait, have you heard us talk about My Girl before? Like we talk about My Girl all the time. And then I do is make fun of the kid because
you're so mean. He doesn't have his glasses, Sarah. How's he gonna see?
I mean, if you can't survive a bee sting in this world, then maybe you don't deserve to
what about people that are allergic? you psychopath.
I'm just saying, like, it is so easy to be stung by a bee.
A zillion times.
Was he? It wasn't just one bee.
A young Macaulay Culkin just hanging around, minded his business. Then there's a wasp nest. Boom. Out comes the wasps. Sting, 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 sting. Dead. Sorry. Spoilers for my girl.
I was walking through the backyards of my parents' house way back in the day and stepped on a like ground hive.
No, the ones that live in the ground are the worst.
Many times. And I just basically went camping that weekend the way I was intending and just like super hopped up on Benadryl the whole time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was one of those things in retrospect that I like, my mom didn't want me to go. I like insisted on going. And so she like told all of my friends, like, can you make sure she's okay and bring her back if she's not? So one I like didn't sleep that night because she was so worried, and she was like listening to my like breathing the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh man, I probably should not have been that far away from a hospital that after that many bee stings.
Terrible. Yeah.
Do you want to hear an email that we received from our management for where we live? It's about bees. It's relevant.
Yes, I do want to hear.
You were going to say from your podcast management.
And I was like, I thought you were doing. I was like, what are you talking about?
No. Our apartment management company. Okay. Dear residents, we want to inform you about the bees that you are seeing. These are carpenter bees, and they come around every year around this time. Unfortunately, there is not really anything that can be done. They will be around for a couple of months, and then you will not see them anymore. They are definitely one of those nuisance insects. We want you to know they can be very intimidating, the way they hover over you in hopes to scare you off. But the male carpenter bee, which is what you see flying around, does not have the capability to sting. The female does, but she is in a nest, blah, blah, blah. It's the male's job to protect her and the nest, which is why they hang out and chase off other males and hopefully humans. We wish there's more that we can do, but unfortunately we can't control nature and have to let it run its course. Have a great week. So they're just like, there will be massive bees here, tons of them, and fuck you and deal with it.
But also, here's some fun facts about bees.
They're like, wow. And this was like legitimately, like we just like got this in the mail, or not in the mail, in email, and they're just like, there's bees, deal with it.
Wow. Continuing on with Jamie's suggestions, we have Father of the Bride. Did we cover that?
No, we've never covered Father of the Bride.
Oh, I've just seen it, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Because okay. Will and I watched it not that long ago. Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh.
Angus, which I don't think I've ever heard of Angus.
Is that about a dog?
If it is, I'm not watching it. No movies centered on dogs ever end well, and I will not. Yeah. Subject myself to that.
No, I don't. Maybe it's not about a dog.
Camp Nowhere.
Okay.
I've also never heard of that. Rookie of the Year, which is one of my favorite like 90s films. Like Sarah would hate it because it's baseball and she hated The Sandlot, but it's incredible. The Bodyguard, which actually is kind of funny considering there was a bodyguard in this episode. And Hocus Pocus, which we haven't ever covered, and I still haven't seen Hocus Pocus.
Whoa, that is crazy. Wild.
So, yeah. Well, I've been holding off for the podcast. I don't want to watch it until I watch it for the podcast.
This summer, we need to just cover camp movies. There was a lot of camp movies in the 90s.
That sounds like so much fun. Yes. Yeah. I'm like worried some of them won't age well. Like I remember Heavyweights, which definitely doesn't age well, but I used to love that movie.
Yeah. Yep. Lots of camp movies.
All right. Next week, season 2, episode 5, Reptile Boy.
Oh, that sounds like a skip.
It sounds terrible.
Oh, no. See what happens. No.
And since no one is coming on to guest, you know it's not a good one.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Oh gosh. Well, that'll be next week. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us for this episode and talking mummies once more. What else do you have going on? Where can people find you?
Sure. Follow me on Twitter, MelissaW28, Melissa Woodward 28 on other social media. I am talking Veronica Mars over on Rollwind Podcast with Adam, and that has been super fun. And also talking Doctor Who with Adam and Kevin. So yeah, subscribe Rollwind Pods on social media or find Rollwind Podcast. You can send us in feedback for those shows, rollwindpodcast@gmail.com. Or yeah, anyway, check out all the other stuff that people are doing, like Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jess and I are going to start Pretty Little Liars Original Sin Summer School pretty soon. So we're really excited to see what kind of shenanigans they're up to. And One Indescribable Podcast is starting pushing daisies soon, which I'm really excited about. So lots of exciting stuff on Whirlwind. And then next month, the month of May for Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, Jess and I are going to kind of do like a little like a Buffy stuff. We're going to cover American Pie because Allison Hannigan's in it, and we're going to cover the Buffy movie, which people have asked us to cover and we have not seen it, and maybe it'll give us a little bit of a background to Buffy that we don't currently know.
Yeah, it's gonna be so much fun. American Pie is a movie certainly in like top 20 movies that I've seen the most times. As a teenager, I was obsessed with American Pie. Like, it's very teen silliness. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to rewatch it, then revisit it. You can also hear
crossover of your interests, Jess.
Very strange. You can also hear me on Talking Shit with Stuart, talking about Schitt's Creek every week. Me on that, you can find me at the Jess Sterling. I think that's everything we have for this week on Buffy. So until next time, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal, simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal, only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.